I'm speaking today with Christina Sanders, who is a candidate for Houston City Council District D. Christina, thank you for talking to me today. Why are you running for this office?
Thank you for interviewing me today. I'm running because I was born and raised in District D and educated in District D. And with my master's in public administration and public policy, 11 years experience in organizing, 8 years experience in working directly with policy, progressive policy particularly, I feel like I know firsthand the challenges that our community faces, and I have experience and knowledge to be able to take those challenges head on.
Now, you work for the League of Young Voters. Tell me what you do with them.
Well, I started the League of Young Voters here in Texas. It's a affiliate of a national organization, the League of Young Voters nationally, and they operate in 9 states around the country. And I run the operations for the state, engaging young people, coordinating efforts to get people, young people involved in the electoral process, educating them about how voting impacts them, and really helping to create the next layer for the next generation of civically engaged and civically responsible Texans.
Now, it's not really a city issue, but it will come up in this election, assuming something doesn't happen in the courts. How do you view the Texas voter ID law, and what impact do you think it will have on this upcoming City of Houston election, if there isn't a court order stopping it?
The League of Young Voters was involved initially in the initial battle to stop the clearance of the Texas voter ID law when it was first passed. And we are now also involved in the current lawsuit, which is a Section 2 claim with the Attorney General. And the reason why we're involved is because it will have a major impact on the elections. And in Houston, Harris County will be the largest county that will experience this after this new wave of voter ID laws, and young people in particular, young people at the University of Houston, at Rice, at Texas Southern, they're going to have challenges voting because the laws are changed and they're very strict. You can't use your college ID to vote, but you can use a concealed handgun license to vote. And I believe that, you know, even though it was passed at the state level, even though it's a national act or federal act, it's going to impact the voices of young people who want to participate locally that can't participate, but they pay taxes here in Houston.
Recently, Dallas County has joined the suit against the state on voter ID, and the city of Austin is contemplating it as well as we speak. Do you think the city of Houston should get involved in this litigation?
Absolutely, because where it impacts our citizens when we don't have enough money to be able to make sure all of the changes are in place, that everybody's educated about the changes before they happen. Even there's not even enough time for the city and the county, Harris County, to really get prepared, even for the DPS offices. Everybody who needs the proper ID could stand in line right now, and they still wouldn't get it before Election Day in November. And so when we talk about the basic aspects of civic engagement, we have to talk about the basic protections that everybody's guaranteed, and that's your right to vote, which is your voice to be able to say what you want at the local level, where you want parks, where you want bike trails. But if that's taken away from you, that impacts the basic principles of who really governs, which is like people and what people want. And I think that the city of Houston should get involved, and anywhere that people's right to vote is infringed on or threatened, I think that every government agency and anybody who believes in these core values should be an advocate for protecting those basic rights.
What do you see as the top priorities for District D, and what would be your priorities if you were elected?
So there are many priorities for District D. I would argue that it's a very diverse district with a lot of challenges and a lot of diverse communities. One of the key things, I think, is to really look at infrastructure, but also public safety, and to begin to look at these areas from a infrastructure and development from a different aspect in terms of where the community can have more responsibility, where a representative can be more of an advocate in bringing more departments together, more entities together, more interests together to be able to do things that are effective, to be able to really help on both ends, not just where the city is concerned when it comes to infrastructure and infrastructure and development, but also where the community is concerned, where we're talking about civic clubs, and we're talking about clean streets and clean neighborhoods. But also when it comes to public safety, not just looking at the aspect of crime, crime victims, policing, more so looking at where we're going, where we're not doing things that we can do to have less, kids and people that are involved in crimes. And I think one of the key things that we have to do is think in that area. And one of the things I will do on city council is I will work to restore the 3 to 5 programs in our schools. There's no reason why 7 and 8-year-olds and 9-year-olds should be walking around doing absolutely nothing at 4:30 in the afternoon. When we're talking about our kids need more access to STEM programs, to Spanish-speaking programs, to English-speaking programs, we have to work with the city, we have to work with other interests, we have to work with other agencies to be able to make sure we're pooling resources and we're getting creative about how we use city facilities, how we use our libraries, how we use our parks, how we use our multi-service centers, how we use the churches that are already available, and how we use other groups that are available in other places that offer funding and resources to be able to get 3 to 5 programs restored, which I believe will begin to address some of the long-term concerns we have with public safety, with community development, as well as like really investing in young people so that we can really change what we're seeing in terms of crime, high crime rates, high pregnancy rates, high problem areas for those young people.
Okay. You talked about infrastructure in that answer as well, and right now the primary vehicle for infrastructure in the city of Houston is Rebuild Houston for drainage and street repair and the like. What's your view of how Rebuild Houston is going, and where do you see opportunities to improve it?
Currently, I believe we've got to make sure that as projects are getting funded and as projects are being included in as priority projects for Rebuild Houston, we've got to make sure that we talk about in Sunnyside, where we have a potential sinkhole right there on Sky Street. We've got to talk about like the water, the pipes. We've got to talk about projects long-term in terms of not just the ones that look glamorous in the bike trails. We've got to talk about some of the infrastructural problems we have in our communities in South Park and begin to make sure that some of those get prioritized as well.
Okay. What's your view of the city's current financial situation? As you know, a couple of years ago, times were very tough. There was a big budget deficit, a whole lot of stuff. Employees were laid off, programs were cut. Since then, times have gotten better. There's more money coming in. Programs have been restored. What's your view of the city's financial situation right now?
Mm-hmm. I don't feel like we're in a space where we could be like, everything's okay. I feel like we still have more challenges, and I feel like we, as a city, can be more creative in terms of how we raise revenue. We've got to still look not just how we're doing today, but as we're looking at where we want to be in 20 years, we're thinking about that today and not just, because we don't know what's going to happen in 5 years. But we've got to make sure we're creative in terms of looking at how we can bring in resources to help support some of the programs and the projects we have in the areas of health and the areas of wellness. It helps support some of the projects we want to do in the parks. And then at the same time, look at how we can use our strengths or what could be potential strengths to really lay an infrastructure to continue a cash flow. For example, I believe that Houston can do a better job with really exposing who we are as a city. This is an amazing city to be in. It's an amazing city to travel to. There's more we can do with entertainment and industry and conventions, and I think that we should really be a little bit more aggressive with how we are really attracting those types of activities to our city. We have a very young city that enjoys entertainment, which attracts young people from all over, and I think that Houston can really see some growth and some success in the area if we are focusing on ways that we can really raise some cash and revenue. And I think entertainment industry is something that we really can start to lean on as a city in our location in the South.
Okay. One issue that frequently comes up in discussions of the city's finances is pensions. In particular, Mayor Parker has been trying to get the legislature to pass a bill that would require the firefighters' pension fund to be subject to meet and confer requirements, as the police and municipal pension funds currently are. She hasn't had any success with that. The firefighters oppose it. Do you support the mayor's efforts to get a bill passed in the legislature to subject the firefighters' pension fund to meet and confer?
I don't know the details in terms of where the mayor is in terms of what types of backroom resistance that she led to this, but I think that as a city, if it's to that point where there's nothing else that we can do, yes, but I don't know firsthand that's the type of resistance that the mayor has been receiving. Or anything. I know that we've got to figure out how to we've got to figure out how to really work better together with each other. I think that if we are able to be very clear in terms of the difficulties and the challenges the fire department could face, including personnel loss, I think that there's a conversation that individuals might be open to. But if it got to that point, absolutely.
Okay. City recently passed revisions to Chapter 42, the Development and Density Code, designed to allow more dense development all over the city, not just inside Loop 610. What was your opinion of the changes made to Chapter 42?
I think that we have to do a better job of educating community people more on their rights and the impact on development. And one of the things that I will advocate for as a city council person is balanced development. Because we want, new spaces, we want rail, we want the developments that come with rail. But we've also, as a governing agency, have to be looking at the interest of people. And not just for shallow reasons, but really because just as a business, that they're in business and they are, thinking about their business and their property, people's homes are their property. And when you put a, 4 or 5 unit, development in the middle of 2 single-family homes, it has a real impact potentially on residents, and not just because it changes the landscape of the community, but it has an impact on their taxes. It has an impact on what other developments begin to happen in the area. It has an impact on communities. And I think it's interesting that it's happening all over the city, and it's a real conversation. But I think that it's new for us, but it's not new. I think that we could look at models of where this has happened before, where this has happened in Chicago, where this happened in New York and San Francisco. And I think we're frankly lucky to have so many different diverse examples of what are the ramifications of doing more developments and not doing these types of developments. And then also looking at how we can use the lessons learned to be able to make communities work for everybody as a community. And I think, but I think we've also got to, not necessarily take a side, but make sure that we are not, not as dismissive of people's concerns about what they feel about their homes, their property, and the integrity of what they want to create and keep as their community. I think we've got to do a better job of that and being really clear and sincere about considering that.
Well, in particular, there's parts of District D, like in the Third Ward, that are going to be that are already beginning to undergo gentrification. Mm-hmm. And while that's good, tends to be good for the city as a whole, it's often difficult for the people who live there and wind up getting driven out of the neighborhood because of higher prices and whatnot. I mean, do you see a need for more involvement from the city? Different. More ordinances or changes to ordinances, to balance the needs of development versus the needs of longtime residents.
Yes, and when you say what's good for the city, I really feel that the people that are residents in that area are the city as well. And I think that that's the balancing part. We've got to do a better job as a city, and we've got to make sure that people understand too about their property and their rights. We're not going to be able to do anything on city council to stop business and stop development, and that's not the job of city council. But it is the responsibility of the city to make sure that that information is available and to make sure that they look at the models for how people and persons are displaced, and they're including the conversations about the not just the good impact for them or for the city or for a developer of development, but also here's where taxes may, you know, here's where taxes will increase for certain persons. And I think as the city, our first priority has got to be the people. We businesses do a really good job, and we have to make sure that, you know, we're not doing anything to impede on businesses' ability to strive to do well. But I do think that we've got to do a better job with including people in the conversation on what the city is doing, and then how those tax dollars that the city is using to be able to do development could be negatively impacting. And in Third Ward, the pattern is going to happen in Sunnyside and South Park in a different way if we don't make sure that people are including the conversation. And it's not even that. It's, you know, with the actually high rise. It's happening in different ways to different communities. But particularly in District D, you know, it's good that people have an example because people see it, but nobody's having a conversation to help them understand. So we can't protect or stop anything, but we definitely can make sure that we're responsible to citizens just by letting them know, and it's their responsibility to
Houston. You talk about Houston entertainment. Well, Houston is getting quite a national reputation for being a great place to eat. Mm-hmm. Our restaurant scene is nationally renowned, and food trucks have also been a big part of that. A few months ago, food truck vendors went before city council to ask for changes to ordinances that would allow them to operate downtown, which they currently can't do. There was no action taken at the time, but I'm sure it's going to come up again. Would you support changes to ordinances to allow food trucks to operate downtown?
Yes, and you know, I just would, and it's just because, you know, it's a slippery slope when you're talking about where the city council and business and healthy business competition is concerned. It's a slippery slope. If people want to eat at food trucks, in fact, I enjoy, sometimes I want to eat, you know, at a restaurant, sometimes I want to eat at the Burger Park in South Park. And I think that's, there's certain logistics in terms of where people can and can't be, but those are logistics those are city codes that already exist. I mean, you can't park in certain places during certain times. But I think that it's not the city's place to protect necessarily one business over another in this particular situation. I think it's going to be amazing. When I go see the food trucks in Austin or in Washington, D.C., there are designated areas. There are things we can do that we can be creative, but I think that the total regulation of not allowing food trucks to be able to service folks downtown, there's plenty of people downtown, and some are there during the day, during the night. I mean, I just think that it's a slippery slope to creating a policy that this is, we should let people be healthy and compete and to give people food out of food trucks.
Okay. In 2001, there was a charter amendment passed in the city that forbade it from offering domestic partner benefits to its employees. As you know, the world's changed a little since then. There are some efforts in other cities, in other Texas cities, to pass ordinances, and other Texas cities have passed ordinances to allow domestic partner benefits. If an effort comes up in Houston to repeal that charter amendment from 2001, and thus to allow the city to offer domestic partner benefits to its employees, is that something you would support?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm asking this question of everyone I talk to. Who are you supporting for mayor this year?
I'm supporting whoever is going to be mayor when I'm on city council. I will say that I absolutely respect and admire, as an organizer, the work that Ben Hall does and has done on behalf of the community. And as a woman, I'm always an advocate for women. And so for me, my interest as a, you know, when elected for District D is really to work with the mayor and to work with city council to get things done and to take on our challenges.
Okay. There's a whole lot of people running in District D this year. This is an open seat. When they go to vote in November, why should they vote for you to be the next council member in District D and not one of your opponents?
Well, I'm born, raised, and educated in District D, and I have not only the experience, but I have the energy, the creativity, and a track record to get things done. And I'm not afraid to work with whoever we need to work with to get it done. And my community knows me, and they should support me because they know when I go to City Hall, I'm going to be there representing us.
All right. Christina Sanders, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you.